This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
Good evening to you all Capricorn FM listeners. Greetings to you all matriculants. My name is Mr. Jore Marvelous from Dendron Secondary School. In today's English First Additional Language lesson, we'll focus on the drama My Children, My Africa by Arthur Fugard. Today's lesson is sort of a continuation of yesterday's lesson. Yesterday we analyzed Act 1, Scene 5. Today our focus will be on Act 1, Scene 6 of the drama My Children, My Africa. But before we get into today's lesson, let us just bring everyone on board, including those who did not manage to tune in and in the previous lessons, those who are tuning in for the first time. The drama My Children, My Africa is a drama that is set in the apartheid South Africa in 1984 specifically. So in a nutshell, this drama is about Mr. Anela Mialatia. Mr. Anela Mialatia is going to be referred to as Mr. M. But his full names will be Anela Mialatia. Anela Mialatia. It ends with T-Y-A. He is a passionate teacher and a principal of Zolile High School. And this Zolile High School is a school for black learners. And he actually does his level best to motivate and educate his learners in a location called Brackwater or Brackwater. Mr. M's main aim is to break the racial divide between black people and white people. So he does that through a number of ways. Firstly, he organizes debate between his black learners of Zolile High School and white learners from Kemdebu Girls High School. The two key debating learners are Tamim Bikwana and from Zolile High School, his school, and Isabel Dyson, who is a white learner from a white school, Kemdebu Girls High. These two learners are both intelligent and they are in matric. They are also good debaters. Since Tamim is a black learner, and it is during the apartheid era, it means at Tamim's school, they are being offered Bantu education. And Bantu education was a very poor curriculum which would not afford these black learners better opportunities in future. On the other hand, we have Isabel, who is white, and she is from a well-resourced school. So we find out that as we get into the drama, Tamim indicates to Isabel to say, education doesn't mean, or school doesn't mean the same to us as it does to you. At least for you white learners, you are receiving quality education and you are actually hopeful for the future. You have future plans. But us as black learners, we are disillusioned. We don't know what we are going to do after matric, because of this poor Bantu education. So the point that I have just raised above about Bantu education being offered to black learners is the central idea on which the drama develops its conflict. We'll highlight this idea about Bantu education in depth when we'll be analyzing Act 1, Scene 6 that we'll be dealing with today. We'll just make a brief summary of the scenes. Act 1, Scene 1, Scene 2, Scene 3, Scene 4, Scene 5. Before we get into today's lesson, before we start analyzing Act 1, Scene 6. So Act 1, Scene 1 takes place at Zolile High School in Mr. M's classroom, which they refer to as classroom number 1. We have Tamim, a black boy from Zolile High School, who is debating with Isabel, a white learner from Kemdebu Girls High. And Tammy's argument is that girls should not have the same syllabus, should not study the same syllabus as that of boys, because girls are not strong physically and psychologically. But Isabel says, no, we should just study the same syllabus. These days, girls can just do any type of job that men can do. So that is the argument that Isabel raises. So the debate is actually about the issues of gender equality. Then we move on to Act 1. Oh, just to say, Isabel is the one who wins that debate, though she is at Solile High School. When the audience, the learners at Solile High School, adjudicate Tammy and Isabel, they find out that Isabel performs better than Tammy. So Isabel is the one who wins the debate. In Act 1, Scene 2, Isabel is in a monologue. And when we talk about a monologue, we are saying the character is just on stage alone. It's not with these other characters. Mr. M is not there on stage. Tammy is not there on stage. Isabel is just alone on stage and communicating directly or speaking directly to the audience. In these monologues, we find out that that's where we get to understand how the characters feel about certain aspects. So in Isabel's character, Isabel's monologue, we find out that Isabel is giving us a clear picture of the situation in Brackwater. Because she went to Zolile High School, for probably the first time she gets an opportunity to interact with many black learners. All this life she has just been sheltered, and she has been meant to have certain beliefs about black people. So now she got an exposure when she went to Zolile High School for debate. So now she's giving us feedback about her new revelations, things that she discovered when she went there. She tells the audience that she discovered a new world. On page 51, she says, I discovered a new world. So we get to see that Isabel, if page 53, page 54, at the top, right at the top, she says, I have discovered a new world. I have always thought about the location as just a sort of embarrassing backyard to our neat and proper little white world, where our minds and our maids and our gardeners and our delivery boys went at the end of the day. So now she has a new perception about Brackwater. And she concludes the monologue by saying, as our aunt says in the kitchen when she's not happy about something, I call, not good enough. I am greedy. I want more. I want as much as I can get. So you see, Isabel becomes curious. She wants to learn more about the black people in Brackwater. Then we move on to Act 1, Scene 3. Just a brief synopsis. In Act 1, Scene 3, Mr. M has gone to Kemdebu Girls High to ask Miss Brookway if she could allow Isabel and a team, or Isabel, to go and join Tammy so that they can form a quiz team. And Miss Brookway doesn't have a problem with that. And Isabel is also excited to be part of the literature quiz with Tammy as a teammate. In Act 1, Scene 4, it's another monologue, and this time it's a monologue by Mr. M. In his monologue, Mr. M indicates that he is going through a lot of emotions, and he compares his emotions to a mad zoo of hungry animals. These emotions are triggered by what is happening to his people in the township. So that's Act 1, Scene 4. In Act 1, Scene 5, the one that we were discussing in the previous lesson, we have Tammy and Isabel having started to work on the quiz, Tami seems to favor poets whose themes are about freedom. And of great importance is the poem Ozymandias, which gives Tami hope that if the Ozymandias, a giant statue that was erected by an Egyptian dictator, Ramesses II, eventually collapsed, then it means apartheid will eventually come to an end one day. So this gives Tami hope. In the same scene, we discover that Tami regards Mr. M's ideas as old-fashioned. And Isabel senses that Tami no longer wants to continue to be part of the literature quiz. There is tension between Isabel and Tami, and we also see tension between Mr. M and Tami. And in today's lesson, Act 1, Scene 6, again, it's a monologue. So you'll see that all our three main characters have been given a chance to address the audience in a monologue. In Act 1, Scene 2, it was Isabel who was pointing out the injustices of the apartheid regime. In Act 1, Scene 4, it was Mr. M indicating how he is being disturbed by the events that are taking place in his community. And he used a metaphor of the zoo with hungry animals. And now in Act 1, Scene 6, the third main character, Tami, reveals his strong feelings about Bantu education. So Tami, when he gets on to the stage, this scene is very interesting because it doesn't start in the normal way where a character will start just saying something. No. Tami is alone on stage and he starts singing in his own language, which gets to be translated later on. He says, Masie, Masie, Skoleni, which means, come, come, let's go to school. He starts singing, let's go to our very own school. The bell is ringing, the bell is calling, let's go to school. So in this scene, we see that when Tami was young, he used to love the sound of the bell. It was a wonderful calling. It was like voices, beautiful voices calling him to go to school all through his childhood, starting with the little farm school. Let me be quick to indicate that there is irony here, boys and girls. The irony is that Tami used to love and enjoy the sound of the bell. But later on, in Act 2, Scene 3, for example, page 91, Tami goes to Mr. M and tells him to stop ringing the bell. It's quite ironic that that sound of the bell that he used to like in junior school now is the sound that is stopping Mr. M to say, no, you can't continue ringing the bell. You are provoking the comrades. You are provoking us, actually, because he's part of the comrades. So we wouldn't obviously expect Tami to stop the ringing of the bell because he used to enjoy the sound. In a simile, Tami compares the school bells to beautiful voices calling him all through his childhood. He says, school bells were like beautiful voices calling him. The figure of speech there is a simile, and the relevance of this simile, or the significance of this simile, it's meant to show us how much Tami loved the school when he was still a child. He was always the first one to arrive at school when he was in junior school. That shows us that Tami is somebody who really enjoyed being in school. He says, in junior school, I was the first one at the gates every morning. I was waiting there when the caretaker came to unlock. Oh yes, young Tami was a very eager scholar. And what made it even better, he was also one of the clever ones. A most particularly promising pupil is how one of my school reports described me. My very first real scholastic achievement was a composition I wrote about myself in Standard 2. Not only did it get me top marks in the class, The teacher was so proud of me, he made me read it out to the whole school at assembly. That's how much Tammy loved school. He remembers the essay that he wrote when he was in standard 2, where his aspiration there was to be a medical doctor. He expressed his ambition in an essay that he wrote to say, I want to be a medical doctor. A question that can be asked to check your understanding of this scene could be, why is it false that Tammy wanted to be a lawyer when he was still in junior school? The answer is obviously, Tammy wanted to be a medical doctor, not a lawyer. In his essay, he indicates that he will make white people pay for the medicines. Tammy indicates that once he becomes a medical doctor, the black people will get better free of charge. But the question is, do you think it is fair that Tammy should make white people pay and black people should be assisted free of charge? Well, you can say yes. It's fair because he has seen how the black people are being ill-treated by the white people. So now he thinks once he gets the opportunity, black people should be on the driver's seat now. However, you can say no, you cannot continue with inequalities. Yes, we have seen that black people are suffering injustices, but when you have a chance, you can't punish those people because you'll still be doing the same mistake that they committed. Since Tammy was still young, the thought that he would make South Africa a better place by giving black people medicine for free of charge. Now he understands that the oppression of apartheid is a more serious illness. So when he was young, he was thinking, no, I should make South Africa a better place by providing medication to black people. But as he grows up now, he realizes, no, man, this illness is more serious than just an illness which requires medication. What these people really need is freedom. So he uses the metaphor now of black people being sick, but what they need is freedom, not medication. So the two things that are evident here that are running concurrently are the first one, the best way to bring about change. This is seen when he implies that if people of South Africa want freedom, they have to fight for it. So it means he believes that the best way to bring about change is to fight for that change. Then the second theme is living a meaningful life. There is hope that South African people can really fight for freedom from the oppressive apartheid regime. Then they can lead a better life. Tammy indicates that he is not free to follow his dreams because of Bantu education. As I indicated earlier, that Bantu education is the central point where we have the conflict emanating from. So this Bantu education is being offered to black learners, while white learners are being offered quality education. Their schools are well resourced. On page 79, for those who have the drama My Children, My Africa, on page 79, Tammy says, and now I sit at my desk like an animal that has smelled danger, heard something moving in the bushes, and knows it must be very, very careful. What figure of speech is this, boys and girls? And now I sit at my desk like an animal that has smelled danger. Now I sit at my desk like. Once you see like, boys and girls, you must know that it's a simile. It's a simile. And what does it mean? Obviously there will be a question that will ask you to say, what does that figure of speech mean? We'll continue from there after break, boys and girls. Thank you. Welcome back from the commercial break. Before we went for the commercial break, we were analyzing the simile where Tammy says And now I sit at my desk like an animal that has smelled danger. I sit at my desk like an animal that has smelled danger. And we said it's a simile. And the examiner will ask you to say, what does this simile mean? Explain the significance of this simile. Explain the relevance of this figure of speech. If you are asked to explain the relevance of this simile, of the above simile, you must indicate that an animal that has smelled danger becomes unsettled. And in this case, Tami emphasizes the mistrust that he feels towards Bantu education. This metaphor captures the intensity of the mistrust and the anxiety he feels about Bantu education at this time. So this simile is about the mistrust, the anxiety that Tami is feeling. Because he's looking at this Bantu education to say, but how is this Bantu education going to help me? Another question can be, what emotions or state of mind do you think Tami is experiencing at this point? You can say, because it's Bantu education that is being offered, that is complaining about, the state of mind is distrust or fear or disillusionment. That's the state of mind, or those are the emotions that Tami is going through. Tami also expresses his views on the annual visits by Mr. David Krobler. So there is this Mr. David Krobler who comes to Zolile High School every year. On page 79, Tami says, at the beginning of this year, the inspector of Bantu schools in the Cape Midlands region, Mr. David Krobler, he makes us call him Umdawi, came to give us standard 10s, his usual pep talk. Pep talk is motivational talk. He does it every year. We know Umdawi well. He has been coming to Zolile for a long time. When he walked into our classroom, we all jumped up as usual, but he didn't want any of that. Sit, sit, sit. I'm not a bloody sitting major. Umdawi believes he knows how to talk to us. He loosened his tie, took off his jacket, and rolled up his sleeves. It was a very hot day. So in the trial examination for Limpopo 2021, English paper 2, there was this question which was saying, what are Umdawi's full names? This question took many learners by surprise. They had forgotten that Umdawi is Mr. David Krobler. David Krobler with a W. Mr. David Krobler. So many of the learners had forgotten about Mr. David Krobler. Then another question was saying, in your own words, what is Tami referring to by what Umdawi has decided I should learn? What Umdawi has decided I should learn? So we know that Umdawi is the inspector of Bantu schools in the Cape Midlands region. So what Umdawi would decide that the black learners would learn is Bantu education or inferior education for blacks. He's the one who moves around checking if people are really enforcing this Bantu education. Why is the following statement false? Umdawi is an inspector of all the schools in the Cape Midlands. Most of the learners could not locate a problem here. They know that he's an inspector, correct? They know that he is in the Cape Midlands province, correct? But to say all schools, the wrong word in that sentence was all. Mr. David Grobler is not an inspector of all schools. He is an inspector of Bantu schools in the Cape Midlands region. He is an inspector of Bantu schools. So when you get this question which says, why is the following statement false? I think you should focus on individual words. There is likely to be one word that makes that statement to be false. Then you replace it with the correct word. Here, the wrong word is all. And you should replace it by just inserting Bantu, so that the new statement will be, Umdawi is an inspector of Bantu schools in the Cape Midlands. So you correct just a single error in that statement. Another question that can be asked about Umdawi is, why does David Robler make the learners call him Umdawi? Why does he make the learners call him Umdawi? The main reason why he does that is because he wants them to relax, so that even when he has to enforce or impose Bantu education on them, they may not easily realize that. They may not really. He does not want the learners to view him as a highly ranked soldier or police officer. That's why he makes them refer to him as Umdawi. Why do you think David Grobler, referred to the learners as major shareholders in the future of this wonderful Republic of South Africa? He is calling them major shareholders to express the idea that they must participate in the economy of South Africa. But this statement is ironic. He is offering them Bantu education. How then does he expect them to become major shareholders? It's quite ironic that David Grobler is saying the learners should be major shareholders. A shareholder will be somebody who has invested in a company, and he deserves to get some profits, some dividends from those shares that he has. In this case, the black learners are not major shareholders. So to call them major shareholders is quite ironic, because the purpose of Bantu education was to keep black people unskilled, so that the skilled jobs and wealthy could be just kept for white people. So this is quite inappropriate to say the black children are major shareholders in South Africa. Mr. David Grobler uses sarcasm. If they were to ask you about the tone, I think this statement comes from page 79, where David Grobler uses sarcasm to make his motivational talk interesting. He says on page 79, "Boys and girls, or maybe I should say, young men and women now, because you are coming to the end of your time behind those desks, you are special. You are the elite." I think there is also irony there, to say the black learners are the elite. When we're talking about elite, we're talking about people of high class. But is it true that they are the elite? No, that statement is ironical. It's also ironic to call the black learners the elite, because they are getting Bantu education, which will not even transform them into people of class. "We have educated you because we want you to be major shareholders in the future of this wonderful republic of ours. In fact, we want all the peoples of South Africa to share in that future." The word "all" has been italicized there. I think it's to show the emphasis that Mr. David Grobler has or puts on that word. But that statement makes that "all" makes the statement to be ironic again, because not everybody is going to get a share in the future. He says, now where sarcasm comes in, he says, "Black people, white, brown, yellow, and if there are some green ones out there, then them as well. Ho, ho, ho." So you can see that Mr. David Grobler talks about yellow people, talks about green people. He is just being sarcastic there, because we know that there are no green people. He wants his motivational talk to be sarcastic, to be interesting, and to show that his South Africa that he is prophesying or that he's talking about will be all inclusive, will be inclusive of all the races. But it's not true. It excludes black people already because they are not being given quality education. They are being offered Bantu education. So he's using a sarcastic tone there. If they were to ask you about the tone, normally this question on tone will ask you, after identifying the tone, you have to be able to state why that kind of tone has been used. So when you answer that question, which requires you to explain why that tone has been used, you should say that Mr. David Grobler uses a sarcastic tone in order to make the learners in Tamil's class to like his motivational talk, so that he may continue imposing Bantu education on them without them really rebelling against it. That's why he uses that sarcastic tone. He wants to pacify them so that he continues imposing that Bantu education without them complaining about it. Mr. David Grobler's mention of our future, the country's future, our wonderful future of peace and prosperity, makes Tami's heart to be hard and to be tight as a stone. If they say identify the figure of speech there, you can see there is use of as. So we said, if you see a comparison where they use as or like, then you obviously know that it is a simile. And then you have to explain the significance. You get more marks by explaining. Identification of the figure of speech is just one mark. But you need to explain so that you get the two marks. So when you explain, you must say, Mr. David Grobler's mention of those words. Which words? Our wonderful future of peace and prosperity. Our future. The country's future. When Mr. Grobler is saying those, remember Mr. Grobler is white and is addressing black learners. And these two people, these two groups of people do not belong to one group. So Mr. M shouldn't, according to Tami, Mr. Grobler shouldn't be using our future, our wonderful future of prosperity, the country's future. Because Tami understands that these people are in different worlds. So he becomes very upset because he knows that as black learners, they will not have a future of peace and prosperity. No, there is no peace. As long as they are being offered Bantu education, there won't be any peace because the young people will take to the streets. They will go and demonstrate. They will go and fight. They will go and protest. So Tami becomes very upset when Mr. Grobler talks about our future. He knows that Bantu education is not preparing them for any bright future. So it's wrong for him to mention a future of prosperity in a class of black learners who are being offered Bantu education. When the inspector of Bantu schools visits Tami's class, Mr. Grobler is the one we're talking about. When he visits the class, he is trying to make himself seem like a friend to them. The examiner can say, find the examples of what he does to show that he wants to appear to be friendly. Number one, he loosens his tie. I think Tami mentioned that part. He loosened his tie because he wants them to think that he's friendly. Number two, he takes off his jacket and rolls up his sleeves. He takes off his jacket and rolls his sleeves. The next point, he insists that they call him Umdawi. It's a way of showing that he is friendly to them. He insists that they should call him Umdawi. Next point, he tells them not to stand up when he enters the classroom. He says, sit, sit, sit. I'm not a bloody sergeant major. Sit, sit, sit. I'm not a bloody sergeant major. It shows us that he wants to appear to the friendly. Let me read this part again. He comes, he does it every year. We know Umdawi well. He has been coming to Zolile for a long time. When he walked into our classroom, we all jumped up as usual, but he didn't want any of that. Sit. I'm not a blood sergeant major. Umdawi believes he knows how to talk to us. He loosened his tie, took off his jacket, and rolled up his sleeves. It was on a very hot day. So he also uses swear words like bloody. It's a word that would not just be used casually like that. Then he also laughs. He also laughs, which is something that really shows us that he wants them to feel that he is friendly. He uses sarcastic statements. Remember that part that we talked about earlier, where he says, "In fact, we want all the peoples of South Africa to share in the future. Black, white, brown, yellow, and if there are some green ones too out there, then them as well." So using those sarcastic statements to make the children find some humor in his presentation also makes him to appear to be friendly to them. But Tami can read in between lines. He can see that all that Mr. David Krobler is doing is to give them false promises, as he can see that around him there is a lot of injustice of the apartheid, and how the injustice prevents people from finding happiness. Tami can read in between the lines and he can see that there is a lot of injustice going on around. So you can tell that Mr. David Krobler is just lying. He sees miserable adults all around him every day, and they haven't reached their full potential because they are struggling to survive. So Tami queries or questions what Mr. David Krobler is trying to say. Then on page 80, Tami now gets to a point where he becomes defiant. He says, page 80, "My head is rebellious." Tami says, "My head is rebellious." Maybe the first thing is that the examiner can ask you about the figure of speech there. "My head is rebellious." What figure of speech is that? Obviously, that is personification, because it looks like it's not Tami who is rebellious here, but it is his head that is rebellious. So the figure of speech is personification. But if they ask you to explain that figure of speech, you mustn't say it's personification because the head cannot be rebellious. No, it's very wrong to do that. You explain what that figure of speech means. When Tami says, "My head is rebellious," what is it that he actually means? This, when you explain this figure of speech, you can say, Tami has got to a point where he cannot allow his head. He refuses to continue being deceived by being taught Bantu education, which does not create any opportunities for black learners. Tami has got to a point where he refuses to continue being deceived by being taught Bantu education. That's what the figure of speech means. Then from that very statement, "My head is rebellious," the examiner can come up with some more questions just based on that statement, my head is rebellious. We'll deal with some of the questions that the examiner can ask from those, from that statement after break. Enjoy your break, the commercial break. Welcome back. Before we went for the commercial break, we were dealing with the statement by Tami, which says, "My head is rebellious." We said the examiner can find it to be a good source, or where you can get many questions there. So the first one that we dealt with was the figure of speech. We said this statement is an example of personification, and the significance is that Tame is indicating that at this point, he refuses to continue with the Bantu education that they are being offered in the school, at Zolile High School, because he doesn't create any opportunities for them. So he doesn't see any use of him continuing with the Bantu education. Then the other question that the examiner may ask there is that question where they normally say, if you were the stage director, what would you tell Tami to do when he says these words? If you were the stage director, what would you tell Tami to do when he says these words? You must think of actions that you normally use when you are refusing something or rejecting something or you are denying something. What actions do you normally use? Here Tami is rejecting Bantu education. He says, my head is rebellious. So the actions that can quickly come into one's mind when you are refusing something, you normally shake your head. So I would tell Tami to shake his head. I would tell Tami to point at his head as he says, my head is rebellious. Or even to put a hand on his forehead to say, my head is rebellious. Or I can also tell Tami to stamp his foot, one foot, boys and girls, not to stamp his feet. When somebody is now stamping his feet, it means the person is jumping. So you would say Tami should stamp his foot. The actions should be clear actions that one can perform. If you say Tami, shake your head, he can easily shake his head. So those are the actions that we want. You can say Tami should open his eyes wide. I think it's also applicable. But to say Tami should nod his head, because some learners wrote the answer, Tami should nod his head when he's saying my head is rebellious. I don't think that is quite appropriate. So you must read the statement and see that Tami is rejecting something. Then you make him to perform those actions that we perform when we are not interested in something. Then another question that can be asked is a question on tone. Based on the very same utterance, my head is rebellious. When Tami says, my head is rebellious, identify the tone that Tami uses in this statement. At this point, you can see that Tami is angry. Or you can say, Tami should use an impatient tone. He's tired of Bantu education. Or an annoyed tone. When you respond to part B of that question, that's where you should indicate that Tami is using an impatient tone because he is no longer interested in Bantu education that they are being taught. He knows that Bantu education does not create any opportunities for them. Hence, he doesn't want to continue learning the history of white people. He prefers to start learning the history for black people. I think that's how you should respond to the question on tone. Then another question can be, what is Tami's state of mind at this point when he says, my head is rebellious? What can be Tami's state of mind? He is extremely defiant. He feels that black people have suffered enough under the oppressive white regime, which is imposing Bantu education on them. Hence, he doesn't want to continue with Bantu education. To continue, Tami refers to Zolile classrooms as traps, which are carefully set to catch their minds and souls. What figure of speech is that? That is a metaphor. And what is the significance of this metaphor? When Tami says, we no longer need Zolile classrooms, they are traps which are carefully set to catch the minds and souls of young people. It's a metaphor. The significance is that Bantu education that the black learners are subjected to offers them no opportunities, no prospects for a better future. That is why it's being referred to as a trap. If you are in a trap, it means you are not free. You are imprisoned. You are incarcerated. So you are not free to do anything. Hence, Tami says, the classrooms are traps. They no longer want to be in those classrooms because the classrooms are just trapping them to be limited to Bantu education, which does not offer them any opportunities. Tami wants to fight for freedom. So the themes that are evident there will be the best way to achieve change, which can also be referred to as communication versus violence. Tami prefers violence. He is saying, no, we are tired of education, which Mr. M prefers. Mr. M prefers education. Mr. M prefers communication. He thinks it's a better way of eradicating the apartheid regime. But Tami says, no, let's use Bantu education. If you are asked about the mood that prevails in this part, I think you should safely say is the mood of defiance, which is evident. Tami says my head refuses to remember when the Dutch, the Huguenots and the British landed. He says my head refuses. It's another example of personification when it comes to figures of speech. What it just means is that he is no longer interested in learning Bantu education. He now wants to learn the history of South Africa, which is about Cape Town. When we talk about Cape Town, we're talking about Soweto in 1955, where the Freedom Charter was adopted in 1955 by black people, coloreds, and Indians. You remember, those are the three racial groups that were oppressed by the whites. So the Freedom Charter was adopted in Cape Town in 1955. He also wants to learn about the Sharpeville Massacre, which happened between Vereeniging and that place called Vanderbijl Park on 21 March 1960. That's what Tami wants to learn, where black people were killed, about 69 people were killed and 178 were wounded. So 21 March is the Human Rights Day. That's what Tami wants to learn. He also wants to learn about the Soweto Uprising, which took place in 1976, where students were protesting against the introduction of Afrikaans as a medium of instruction in their schools. Hundreds were injured and many were killed. Hence, today we have the Youth Day on the 16th of June. That's what Tami wants to learn about black history. The Youth Day, that's what Tami is saying. That's what we want to learn at this point. Tami says, we have woken up at last, which is also a metaphor which shows us that he is now enlightened on what they have to learn as black children. They have been enlightened. They don't want to learn Bantu education because it's a symbol of oppression and it doesn't create any opportunities for them. In the Limpopo trial examination, the examiner set a question on a theme which was indicated as a theme of self-discovery or self-identity. See, after going through this extract, after going through Tami's monologue, where Tami is saying, do you understand me, good people? Do you understand now why it is not as easy as it used to be to sit behind that desk and learn only what Dawi has decided I must know? My head is rebellious. It refuses now to remember when the Dutch landed and the Huguenots landed and the British landed. It has already forgotten when the old Union became the proud young republic. But it does know what happened in Cape Town in 1955. In Sharpeville on 21 March 1960, and in Soweto on the 16th of June 1976. Do you? You better find out, because those are the days your children have to learn one day. We don't need these Olile classrooms anymore. We know now what they are. They are traps which have been carefully set just to catch our minds, our souls. No, good people, we have woken up at last. We have found another school. The streets, the little rooms, the funeral parlors of the location, and anywhere where people meet and whisper names we've been told to forget. The dates of events they try to tell us never happened. The speeches they tried to say were never made. Those are the lessons we are eager and proud to learn, because they are lessons about our history, about our heroes. But the time for whispering them is past. Tomorrow we start shouting, Amanda. That was the extract that was set by the examiner for the Limpopo trial examination. So after going through that extract, the learners were given the theme of self-discovery. To say, the theme that is evident here and in the drama is the theme of self-discovery. So if you have to respond to the theme of self-discovery, you have to show that somebody, a character, is discovering new things. He's discovering himself. He used to have these kind of thoughts, but now he has new thoughts. So here, learners were supposed to indicate that Tamir realizes that now they have to fight for their freedom. He realizes that his people need freedom, not the medicine from the hospital. Tamir identifies himself with the suffering of the black majority. He wants to be free from Bantu education, which denies them opportunities after matric. And Isabel also, in the drama, Isabel also discovers a new world. In Act 1, Scene 2, remember, Isabel says, I have discovered a new world. She has a new perception about black people. She discards all the ideas that she were fed with by her parents about black people. So she says, I have discovered a new world. She becomes part of the black family and identifies with Mr. M's ideology. And she goes to make a promise to Mr. M to say, I will lead a meaningful life. Tamir also discovers that Umdawi is telling them lies about them being major shareholders in the future, because he is studying Bantu education and he questions how he can become a major shareholder in the future of South Africa when he is receiving Bantu education. So that's how learners, you are supposed to respond to that theme of self-discovery if they ask you about that theme. Tamir says, time of whispering, it's no longer time for whispering. Remember, he says the method that Mr. M is using to try and eradicate Bantu education is whispering. He believes that they have to do shouting. And shouting in this case, it symbolizes violence. Whispering symbolizes communication or negotiation. So Tamir believes that they have to start shouting. They have to start being violent. The examiner can say, do you think Tamir made a good decision in dropping out of school? Because as you can see, he's saying, tomorrow we start shouting Amandla. It means he's no longer going to school. They are going to be involved in boycotts. Yes, Tamir made a good decision because Bantu education offered them no opportunities. It was just a waste of time. He would be viewed by other black people as a sellout if he doesn't go and join the boycotts. And his leadership skills are needed by the comrades. So it's a good decision that Tamir makes. But it's an open-ended question. Somebody can say no. He lost an opportunity to get a scholarship. He is intelligent, so he might have succeeded in education if he continued. And he also puts his life in danger. So it's not actually a good decision that Tamir has made. But it's all up to you to say Tamir has made a good decision, then you support, or he made a wrong decision. Boys and girls, that is all I wanted us to discuss concerning chapter Act 1, Scene 6. A monologue by Tamir, and we've realized that Tamir is bitter and he doesn't want Bantu education anymore. That brings us to the end of the lesson, and all the best, boys and girls. Thank you very much.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.